it all, take it in, take off all the thoughts of what we've been. Take a look, hesitate, take a picture you could never recreate. Got a song, make a note, fall in love.
And welcome. Welcome to the Sarcastic News Show. My name is Justin Cross. This is, if you don't know, Sarcastic News, the most trusted name in bullshit, folks. I am glad to be here with you live from the Skid Row Studios in the heart of LA's Cash for Gold District. Today, we have a great show for you. It's going to be fun. Special guest, writer and journalist from the Huffington Post and also from PolicyMike.com, Liz Planker will be joining us in just a little while. Drank a lot of Red Bull before I came here. Got my uppers. Going to have my downers in a few minutes. Looking forward to that. Of course, joining me live in studio, the Emmy Award-winning Sarcastic News Crack Squad. Right across from me, we've got SN contributor Christopher Boley. Right next to Chris Boley, a good friend of mine, Jeannie Aguilar in the house. The beautiful Jeannie Aguilar. Also... back left, Jake the Snake Craney.
Hey, thank you so much. So glad to be here. I'm going to go out on a limb, as I often do, and I'm going to say that this is going to be one of the six best shows that we've ever done.
There we go. Last time he got it wrong, he said the top.
How many shows have we done, Snake?
I don't know. I spaced out for like three of them.
No, we're at six. Sorry. We're at six. And then also joining us right next to me, a social media guru, Michael Porter in the house. Michael Porter, everybody give him a round of applause. He's on time tonight. Time.
I left earlier.
You left earlier. Last week, Porter was on a bus, and he couldn't get here because he was... What happened, Porter? There was
this lady was barking at the other patrons, and the bus had to be pulled over.
She was barking.
Yeah, and she was hot. She was doing like something like the Velociraptors in Jurassic Park. Yeah, something like that.
Well, I can't wait to dive tonight. We have a great show. You know, some say it was a slow news week. Not tons and tons of world events. I say not when you have nonstop, back and forth, wild and crazy cybering. That's right, cybering attacks from China. On Tuesday, the Obama administration made the ballsy accusation that China has gone after U.S. industrial technology, hacking U.S. Systems, military intelligence, and in some cases, leafing through the various email accounts of senators and House members to gain knowledge on future global strategy. Of course, Obama officials aren't too worried about that, as they know that there is little politics in the emails of U.S. congressmen and mostly dick pics. Even more startling, recent reports of cyber espionage have up to 90%, that's right, 90% of attacks in the U.S. deriving from China. Now, in fairness to China, that's not actually cyber espionage. That's just them checking their U.S. bank accounts to see how much money we owe them. Approximately $1.15 trillion, just ball bargain. And of course... A Chinese spokesperson refuted the charges. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs, a woman whose name, I'm just going to be honest, I cannot pronounce her name, but she denied accusations by the Obama administration, calling them, quote, groundless in nature. When countered with the question by an American reporter of why there are so many Chinese students graduating from U.S. colleges with degrees in technology, the spokeswoman simply stated, because we're smarter than you. To which the American reporter replied back, touche. And in the most hard pressing news of tonight, Secretary of Treasury Jack Lew is working on improving his penmanship, guys. He's apparently, if you don't know, Jack Lew took on the role as Treasury Secretary, and it was discovered when he took on the role that he has a very loopy signature where letters of his own name are unable to be made out. According to Fox News, this is changing, though. All three letters of his last name can now be... What the fuck am I talking about? I'm talking about Jack Lew's signature. I'm not gonna lie, it was a slow news week. Jesus Christ.
That was compelling.
What the hell? God. It was a slow news week. What else happened? Oh, Delaware. Delaware became the 11th state to legalize same-sex marriage. To celebrate, Joe Biden wore assless chaps and drove around in a motorcade of VW Cavaliers. And making his fourth appearance on the Sarcastic News Show, Kim Jong-un. This past week, North Korea sentenced American Kenneth Bay, to 15 years of hard labor for, I don't know, being there. While the Obama administration said that the imprisoned American would not be bait for negotiations between the two countries, Ambassador Dennis Rodman did call on his friend Kim to, quote, do him a solid and release Bay. While no one actually knows what the phrase do me a solid means, context clues show that it could mean the words, quote, favor, reciprocity, or possibly the phrase get a boner. The last wouldn't make tons of sense, but could logistically work out if releasing a prisoner was like walking to the toilet to go pee in the middle of the night. Thanks, guys. thought that was good. But finally this week, I don't know if you're paying attention to your news sets, but a crazy bitch got sentenced to the death penalty for brutally killing her boyfriend. Oh, and some deranged average Joe guy locked three women in a basement for a decade. That's about it. That was the week in sum right there. Now, as for the story out of Cleveland, that was crazy. It's crazy. It was tragic. It was horrible. Of course, it's amazing that they finally got out. But what's more amazing? It's not more amazing. Okay, it is absolutely amazing that they got out. But the man who rescued them, Charles Ramsey. This man was phenomenal. He's hilarious. I'm not even gonna do it justice. I'm just gonna, Nick, can you play the clip of Charles Ramsey? This is the full clip of Charles Ramsey, his initial interview after rescuing the three women.
I'm talking with Charles Ramsey. He's a neighbor. Walk me through again what happened this afternoon. You heard screaming.
Heard screaming. I meet my McDonald's. I come outside. I see this girl going nuts, trying to get out of her house. So I go on the porch. Okay. I go on the porch, and she says, "Help me get out. I've been in here a long time." So, you know, I figured it's a domestic violence dispute. So I open the door, and we can't get in that way because how the door is, it's so much that the body can't fit through, only your hand. So we kick the bottom, and she comes out with the little girl, and she says, "Call 911. My name is Amanda Berry."
Now, did you know who that was when she said that?
When she told me, it didn't register until I got to call the 911. And I'm like, I'm calling the 911 for Amanda Berry? I thought this girl was dead. You know what I mean? And she got on the phone, and she said, "Yes, this is me." And the detective, Cook, right here, Detective Gregory Cook, says, "Charles, do you know who you rescued?" I said,
"Now, and when did you see Gina?"
About five minutes
McDonald's.
After the police got here. See, the girl Amanda told the police, "I ain't just the only ones. It's some more girls up in that house." So they went up there, you know, 30, 40 deep, and when they came out, was just astonishing, because I thought they were going to come up with nothing. I figured, whoever she was, and like I say, my neighbor, you got some big testicles to pull this off, bro. Because we see this dude every day. I mean, every day.
How long have you lived here?
I've been here a year.
Okay.
You see where I'm coming from? Right. I barbecue with this dude. We eat ribs and whatnot. Listen to salsa music. You see where I'm coming from?
And you had no indication that there was anything going on?
Bro, not a clue that girl was in that house. Or anybody else was in there against their will. Because how he is, he just comes out to his backyard, plays with the dogs, tinker with his cars and motorcycles, goes back in the house. So he's somebody that you look and you look away, because he's not doing nothing but the average stuff. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Nothing exciting about him. Well, until the day.
what was the reaction on the girls' faces? I can't imagine to see the sunlight, to be around people.
I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arm. Something is wrong here. Dead giveaway.
Charles, thank you very much.
Dead giveaway.
Thank you very much for your time.
Either she homeless or she got problems. That's the only reason why she ran into a black man.
Charles, thank you for being there, man. Charles Ramsey, a neighbor, heard the screaming, took action, went and did what he needed to do. The rest is unfolding before us here on CMAR. I'm going to send it back to you.
Charles Ramsey, everybody. Yeah. Charles Ramsey.
That is hard-hitting news.
Totally worth listening to the whole soundbite.
That was, yeah.
It has a payoff.
It does. It was like my monologue. It was like, oh, wait. The best was, if you watch the interview, too, the reporter was just like, after he made that last remark, the reporter's like just trying to get out of there, but he's like, he just keeps pressing him on it. But with that said, this is our poll tonight. I'm making it up as we go along. This is our gut reaction, reflection, crazy survey, whatever we call it. Was this week a slow week in news, or was it not? Was it a slow week in news, or was it not? Give us a call, 800-893-9562. That's 800-893-9562. You're listening to Skid Row Studios. We'll be right back with Group Thing.
So what is gut reaction, snap, reflex question?
I drink to remember, I smoke to forget. Some things to be proud of, some stuff to regret. Gone down some dark alleys in my own head. Something's changing, changing, changing. I go back to Clifton to see my old friends, the best people I could ever have met. Skin up a fat one, hide from the feds. Something's changing, changing, changing. So I kiss goodbye to every little ounce of pain. Light a cigarette and wish the world away. I got out of life and I'm here to stay. So I hold your two fingers up to yesterday. Light a cigarette and smoke it all away.
We got Nick working the music back there. Nick, you're doing a hell of a job, Nick. You're doing a hell of a job.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
I like it. You're so more sober than you were last week so far.
Am I?
Yeah. Well, it seems like that. Did you just put stuff in your eyes to like clear eyes?
I'm out of weed, man.
Well, before we get to our group thing, we got a couple little things. I like that. Like, how do you segue? I'm out of my weed, dude. Well, I know a good segue. Michael Porter has a special, I don't know. What do you have for us, Porter? Go ahead.
Well, Cross, worked long and hard on this. I want you to know it comes from the bottom of my heart.
Okay, what is it?
That's well, sweet. I'm going to review your birth year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. It's my birthday, by the way, if you didn't know.
Well, happy birthday, Justin.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
28 years old. All right.
Here we go.
All right.
You don't sound a day over 15.
Thanks.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. The year was 1985, and it was a monumental year for the United States, as Americans wondered whether or not Bruce Willis and Cybill Shepherd would ever hook up on TV's Moonlighting. They did in season 3. The San Francisco 49ers won their second Super Bowl in team history. It was also the first time that a sitting U.S. president participated in the game's coin toss. Coca-Cola attempted to change its 99-year-old formula in an effort to attract younger drinkers. New Coke, as it was called, was poorly received. And the company soon reintroduced the original classic beverage. Also, the Food and Drug Administration approved a blood test for AIDS, so that was kind of important. none of these events quite measure up to one event in particular.
Yeah.
This event is surely one of the seminal moments in human history. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking about the birth of one Justin Cornelius Cross. Thanks, Nick. Justin is 28 years young today and isn't looking a day over 15 and a half.
Thank you.
Humble beginnings in Ponte Vedra, Florida, led young Cross to Florida State University, where he excelled at athletics, mainly track and field, and desperately trying to entice first-year students to go back to his bachelor pad that he claimed was a love nest. Upon arrival to said love nest, ladies were usually met with a dirty mattress littered with granola bar wrappers, sweaty running clothes that hadn't been washed in weeks, and used condoms.
That's all of the above.
Yeah, usually. What do you mean usually?
Who wears a condom?
But Justin was taught at a young age to push through adversity. And he knew that by convincing the freshman girls to sleep with him, that he not only...
just sleep.
Yeah, just go right to sleep. That he not only accomplished sexual release, but that he had also succeeded in destroying a young girl's confidence, which is far more important.
Where's the cricket sound?
This started off so nice.
Yeah.
That's really...
Do we have more? Is there more?
It's this man's birthday, more. Porter. Going for the jugular.
A track star and a double major in political science and English led Justin to California, where he initially lived with a stripper, a crack dealer, and a blind amputee in a single-family home in the heart of Marina Del Rey.
That's halfway true, actually. I had the stripper and the double amputee, yeah.
Things would pick up soon as Justin soon became well-known in the comedy circuit of Los Angeles. Justin performed night in and night out, tirelessly working at his craft and eventually hosting his own show in Westwood with the help of some friends from back home. The show was a success and sold out every single Sunday.
Sold out.
With the success of the weekly comedy show, Justin and the crew began to form ideas centering around a weekly radio show. This, ladies and gentlemen, is that show. Happy birthday, Justin. You're the biggest asshole I know.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Right. That was Lisa Lampanelli quality right there. That was a professional roast right there.
As you like to say, Justin, you keep getting older, but they stay the same age.
Yeah, that's right. Right. You just keep driving around that middle school in a windowless van. With that, thank you. First of all, thank you, Porter. And I have to, big shout out to Jeannie brought in cookies for tonight's show.
Thanks, Jeannie.
I did.
Yeah. Snakes had like 12 of them.
I know. I'm in a diabetic coma over here.
before you sort of pass out on us, go ahead. Snakes, you got a game for us. Snake.
I have a game. I wanted to do something centered around the date of your birth. So what I've done is I've selected 5 random years throughout history. And you are going to have to guess, all of you guys are playing, you're going to have to guess what the number one song in America was.
Oh.
On the week or day of your birth in that particular year. So let's get things started by playing some music from May of 1985. Go ahead, hit it, Nick. It was a great year for music.
May 85.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of who this could be.
Listen to the radio. Don't you remember?
So let's get things started here. So,
Black Eyed Peas.
I'm gonna run through the 5 questions real quick. You guys are all gonna write it down, and then we're gonna play the answers for you. Okay, so
audiences are invited to call in 800-893-9562. 800-893-9562. Don't all jump at once. Go ahead, Snake.
All right, so let's get your pens and paper ready. Let's start with last year, 2012. Was the number one song in America on your birthday last year? A, Somebody That I Used to Know by Gautier, B, Call Me Maybe by Carly Rae Jepsen, or C, We Are Young by Fun. Okay, lock in those answers. Question 2. The year is now 2002. Justin Cross's birthday was the number one song in America. A, How You Remind Me by Nickelback.
Oh.
B, Foolish by Ashanti, or C, Hot in Her by Nelly.
Ooh,
what year was it?
2002.
Oh. I was in 10th grade.
I don't know.
Yourself, Porter.
I don't know, Porter. All right. Question 3, taking the clock back even more. 1997. What was the number one song in America? Was it A, Wannabe by Spice Girls, B, Hypnotized by Notorious B.I.G.,
ooh, I totally knew that
or
one.
C, Mbop by Hanson.
Oh, that is
well.
A
it's
got to
be
one.
A or B because you.
No. Oh. That Hypnotize is the one that came to my mind, but now the other three, I have no idea.
She's backtracking.
Jeannie's a very
that's
big.
A really tough
Jeannie's
one.
A very big May of 1997 music fan.
Oh yeah, I was big into MTV. That's when MTV used to play music videos. Remember
right,
that?
That's true.
Well, and Carson Daly.
Yeah.
TRL.
I don't think
right.
Carson has aged at all. By the way, doesn't he
oh,
look
he
like
has.
He's
the new?
Oh really?
Yeah.
He's the new Dick Clark. He'll just stay the same age for the. You know, for the rest of his
He'll
life.
He'll be there for 80 more yeah. years.
How's Dick yeah. Clark doing?
You guys mind if we continue?
All right, so wait, what was it? Who was the last one on that one, Jake?
Mbop by Hanson.
That's really tough.
97.
Yeah. You guys got an answer? Need more
yeah.
time?
Yeah.
That's okay. Question four, 1994. A, Bump and Grind by R. Kelly. B, I Swear by All for One. Or C, The Sign by Ace of Base.
Ooh.
I
thought
I was totally going to say it was an Ace of Base song, too.
Wow, Janie. All right. Mm-hmm.
The first CD I ever bought.
It was a great one.
I can't believe I just admitted
that.
Baby,
you're gone tomorrow.
I like school dance. Yeah, I like school dance territory here.
You're gone tomorrow. I just know one line. I just repeat.
All right. Yeah. Final question. Final question. What was the number one song in America on the day that you were born, May 9th, 1985? Was it A, We Are the World, compilation song by USA for Africa?
Huh.
B, Sue Studio by Phil Collins, or, and wouldn't this be extremely appropriate for the day of Justin's birth, C, Like a Virgin by Madonna.
Oh,
what,
man.
What was the first choice?
I'm hoping for one of those.
We are the first world? Choice was We Are the World.
It's a good game, Snape.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, so let's do this.
I don't know why is this newsworthy?
Let's do this since once you've all gotten your papers around. Just pass it like to the person next to you. And then we're all going to grade. I'm going to
middle school.
Honor system.
Well, don't pass it to me.
On right.
Pass it to Cross. Left, right.
Porter passes to Snake.
Who am I going to grade? Oh, Matt Mills.
Grade mine.
Thank you.
I don't think I did very well.
I folded mine. I folded mine because I didn't want you guys
These
to steal
my
answers.
Mills. They're all wrong.
Nick, are we ready for the answers here?
Oh, you did letters cross.
All right. So let's. All right. Grading time. Here we go. Last year, a number one song in America was.
I don't know. What was it?
I picked B.
I put B too, I think.
I put whatever goatee it was.
Yes, you are, Glenn. Yes.
Oh, that's his turn to cue music. Okay.
Hold on, Wolver went away.
What letter was that?
I got letters over
is
here.
Is that going to be the
That was A. That was A.
Is that song going to be the We Built the City of 2012?
It could be. All right, that was A.
Or Call Me Maybe might be.
Question two, 2002. Number one song in America. Hit it, Nick.
There's Nick.
That is B, Ashanti.
Damn.
Back in the game.
I was really
hoping for Nickelback
one?
On that.
I got that one.
Nickelback. That
I got that one, right?
No, you put C.
Bullshit. I did. Damn it.
All right. Question three, 1997, number one song in America.
Come on.
Yep.
Oh, yes. That was B, by the way. That was B.
B for Biggie.
That's right.
What's Spice?
I totally thought it was
Spice.
Bop. Yeah, that was one of the options, right? Spice Girls?
All right. Question four, 1994, number one song in America.
I saw the sign.
That was option C. Ace of Base, option C.
Wait, that was 94?
That was 1994.
Right. I did get these all wrong. I told you.
And I can just picture 9-year-old Justin Cross dancing across the living room to that song.
Oh, God. I love that song. I still do it. Yeah. Not 9-year-old, like 28-year-old.
I know. Stop. That's horrifying mental image.
Oh, all right, final song.
I don't do it naked.
Final
okay, I do
question.
It naked.
The day of Justin's birth. Please be like a virgin. Play it. Here we go.
I
got
two.
I think I won. I missed the first one.
What was the last? Okay,
that was option A.
That was option A. Okay.
So just to run down real quick, guys, it was A B B C A.
Jesus,
I missed one.
Porter went 4 for 5.
Wow.
That's gonna be really fair. I was at like a recording studio today, and I got like a music lesson.
Porter, read my score.
You went 0 for 5.
Okay, all right.
Which I just picked to side with the birthday boy, Justin.
Oh, 0 for 5.
We just picked the songs that we liked.
I would also like to point out that was an extremely hard game because all of the options were like number one songs right around that exact same time. So
you're an asshole, Snake.
I appreciate it.
I just picked Gaslight Anthem on everything. So. Wow. Well, thank you. So that was a great game, Snake. That was a great game and a touching memorial you gave me.
Memorial?
Yeah, well... After this show,
it could be the end.
Yeah, we'll be right back here on the Sarcastic News. Feel free to call in 800-893-9562. We got groupthink coming up. We'll be right back on the Sarcastic News Show.
you get it loud, I need a replacement. Oh, 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 oh. I said, baby, oh, I'm feeling like I'm going crazy. Oh, I'm feeling like I just need some more time to think it over with you. Yeah, baby.
On the Sarcastic News Show. You guys ready to... Man, I'm having a good time right now. I'm having a good time.
I know. You just took your shirt off.
Well, it's because it's 97 degrees in here. 98 degrees, actually.
Starring Nick Lachey?
Yeah. Which was the number one song back on May 9th, 19... actually, what would that be? Like 2003 or something. Yeah. Well, we are back, and it is time for our weekly segment, a tradition here at the Sarcastic News Show, the Group Think. That's where we go around, and we act like we're smart. So the first question I got for you guys, I consider it to be a slow news week when it came to worldly events. I don't know if you guys agree or disagree, but what I want to know, though, is do situations like, you know, stories like the verdict of the Jody Arias trial and the Cleveland situation, do you guys think that stories like that deserve a ton of news coverage on CNN and in, you know, some of the other major news outlets? Or should they be downplayed because it can be seen as playing into like a tabloid culture? What do you guys think?
I think it's the journalist's job if you're going into that business to find news. So I feel like they're just being lazy if they're just going to piggyback on these things that are already going on. There's always something going on.
There's always a murder.
Yeah, exactly.
But I didn't mean that to sound so sinister.
Right.
There's always there's tons of murders every day.
I'll disagree with that only because I think there is for a lot of ongoing news stories that are really big and also that impact a lot of people's lives. There's a lot of stories that can be found within that. You know, I always remember a big controversy over when there was the Haiti earthquake. Mm-hmm. And the news covered it intensely for a week and then they forgot about it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important that if there are stories that should be a little bit more lasting and that might impact us longer than the immediate future, that those deserve attention, even if, you know, we're a little bit wary of it.
I'd also like to point out that, Cross, the fact that you're asking if it was a slow news week probably means that it was a slow news week.
Right. Well, I mean, it can, I don't know. It's all relative. I don't know. I mean, you can define, you know, slow news week, but the way I see it, it was slow in the sense that there weren't, you know, huge, they're not huge bills trying to be passed right now. I mean, you could consider immigration to be a big bill, but right now it's not really in the stage where we're deciding that. Gay marriage is still kind of in a holding period with the Supreme Court. So there was nothing like that happened. You had the North Korean situation, but, you know, obviously I think Republicans are trying to bring up some Syria issues, but I don't know. Anybody else? Go ahead and weigh in on this.
Yeah, I feel like it's easy to feel that way, too, after a huge news story. So, like, Boston was obviously, like, dominating the headlines for a couple weeks there. Yeah. I mean, that was huge.
Yeah.
And so, but now, you know, it's still in the news. I mean, they're still talking about, you know, the guys going on trial and all that. But it's definitely calmed down a little bit. So I think it's, like, in comparison to a huge, huge story like that or, like, a 9/11 or something like that, you know, I feel like once that sort of dies down a little bit, it's easy to feel like, you know, a month or 2 months or whatever it is afterwards, it's sort of like, you know, it's not as, there's nothing like that. I mean, nothing to compare to that.
Well, and here's a question. Going on the Boston topic, do you think that, like, was that, I mean, after they caught the guys and stuff, like, I mean, how much, you mentioned, Matt, you mentioned Haiti and kind of how we move on from certain issues. In Boston, you know, you kind of move on and you have, like, well, you mentioned the down period, I guess. But what else is there to say at some point about the Boston attacks or about even big event, you know, even Haiti? Right. Like, what else is there to say at some point?
Those are two examples, but I you know, and maybe they're not the best representative. But another way I'd look at it is that, for lack of a better word, you know, it's, you always hear this word, a sexy news story.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the things I think that's important in the news, especially now, it's commencement time at a lot of colleges. And some of the big news was Elizabeth Warren proposed this idea, this bill, where they would not charge interest rates higher than banks are charged interest rates by the government. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean,
that's colleges, you're talking about.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. So students are paying 6.8. And banks are paying 0.75. That's a big news story that affects a lot of people's lives, but nobody knows about it.
Yeah. No, I literally learned about it from you.
But I mean, is that considered news? Would that be considered news?
Have you ever heard of if it bleeds, it leads?
Right.
Yeah, if nobody's.
Are you talking about my ex-girlfriend in college? Boom! Boom! You're making magic happen, baby.
Yes, I am. But yeah,
I actually thought of that exact same quote as well. I think that's exactly right. I mean, there hasn't been anything like that this week. So
red meat issues, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I think like what Snake said. There's murders happening all the time, but I mean, if they're not like cute people, or it's not a national tragedy where hundreds of people, thousands of people are dying, then it's not gonna.
Well, and when I'm looking for quotable quotes, I go to Snake.
Damn right you
know
what, do.
Just to piggyback on what Snake said over there.
Exactly. Right?
No, that's a very good point. I want to move on to a different topic. Cyber attacks, guys. Are you worried that your Twitter accounts could be hacked by Chinese versions of you? And what I mean by this is, in 10 years from now, will there be a Chris bully on Twitter, or will there be a Kim Jong bully on Twitter?
I'm still waiting for an American Chris Bowley on Twitter.
You're on there. I know you are.
I created an account. I've been very passive.
Okay. Well, I mean, but do you feel like the cyber terrorism that came up, the Obama administration, like, actually called out China? And there have been, you know, reports like we talked about in the monologue, 90%, up to 90% of cyber attacks are derived from China when it comes to, you know, U.S. institutions like the military. Do you guys feel like is that something we should be more concerned about than, say, actual wars?
That's definitely a concern. I think more, like, obviously.
Should we consider it more than other wars, though? I mean, is that really what we need to worry about more than, say, you know, somebody creating a nuke? I mean,
I don't think so. I mean, it's Twitter. I mean, we don't have our, you know, personal information on Twitter.
I don't think we're worried about it for our personal Twitters, where we're just talking about, like, sports and music and farts and stuff like that. But, like, when we, I think for, like, national security reasons, that's a huge concern. Yeah, like you said, Cross, the Chinese have, like, entire teams of people trying to do this and trying to get secrets from us, and I think have been fairly successful at doing so. So that should be a pretty major concern.
And once Skynet comes online, then we're all fucked. Okay. Yeah.
With Skynet, I want to bring in a caller. We got a caller, is that right? All right. Who do we have here on the phone?
Yeah, this is Jim from Austin.
Jim from Austin.
Wait, hey, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
What's up, Jim?
Hi.
Hey, Jim. You want to weigh in on cyber attacks or possibly the slow news week? What do you think?
No, I just wanted to comment on that fantastic Ace of Base playback there. That really took me back to my heyday.
I like how that's what people remember from the show right now. Well, as they hear the beer cracking in the background, that's good.
I saw the sign.
Jim, I got this. Jim in Austin. Austin, obviously a big music town. Favorite 90s band. I want to get this from you. Favorite 90s band of all time, Jim.
Did I admit to saying 98 Degrees?
That was 2000s, right?
Oh, that was late 90s.
Late 90s.
Wait, that's your favorite 90s band is 90 Degrees.
Yeah, I got nothing for that. Alanis Morissette, I guess.
Nick, if you want to cut this call off, that's fine.
Music
we got a hang up sound on this. We got a hang up button. Well, hey, Jim, we do appreciate you calling and weighing in on the heavy subjects here. We got to go, but thank you very much for calling in, Jim. We do appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for taking my call. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Wow, Jim knows a lot about you. Yeah.
Jim sounds a lot like our... It sounds like a lot like our control room in Austin, headquartered by my brother Josh.
I just love how we picked 98 Degrees when there was like Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. And
yeah.
So many.
I was hoping for a Toad the Wet Sprocket.
98 Degrees is the bastard child of boy bands.
We left.
I'm with you, Bully.
I think I planted a seed when we almost went to break there, because I said something about 98 Degrees. I think I planted a seed in his head that time.
And now it is grown fruit.
That's called Inception.
That's right. Now, real quick, I want to cover one more topic here before we go to break. Tonight, we have journalist and self-described feminist Liz Plank on the show. She's a writer for the Huffington Post and also PolicyMike.com. I want to know from you guys, like, what kind of, when you say feminist, okay, what kind of, and I want to start with Jeannie on this.
Oh,
when you
really?
Say, because she's a girl.
I own a vagina. It's, working vagina.
I know. Wow.
It's almost fully paid for.
Almost. Yeah.
You can see it. You can see it on www.
A few more nights.
Yeah.
HispanicsOnWhites.com. Starting Mark Hamelman. No, Jeannie, what are your thoughts on, like, when you hear the word feminist, what do you think of? What kind of connotation does it have?
I guess it's just women who are who champion women's rights and equality for women in the workplace. And I saw that on the notes when you sent them out, and I was like, God damn.
But does it have a? So do you guys, Bully? Do you think it has a positive or negative connotation to it? Or
I think it has more negative. I mean, if I'm just really? Thinking through this, if I was a female and I had feminist like ideals, I feel like I wouldn't go around parading the fact that I was a feminist. Mm-hmm. I would, you know, in the background try to accomplish those goals or, you know, ideals or whatever they are around the feminist.
What exactly are they fighting for these days?
Well, we're gonna have a guest on who will tell us. Matt, I think you may have a different opinion. What do you think about this?
Yeah, no, I think feminist is so much more of a broad term, and I think it applies to both men and to women. And, you know, I think just because of gender, that doesn't mean that there are women who have any less rights that are out there today. And so a lot of times, you know, it is fighting for almost like a civil rights cause that just mm-hmm. goes unnoticed. And, you know, I think there are really heavy issues. It's not just equal pay for equal work, which is a huge issue, but also just making sure that it's also protecting what the roles are and defining what the roles are between men and women, mm-hmm. you know? So, I mean, sexual abuse, I think, would be an example, getting really heavy here. But, you know, it's kind of like, how are we preventing that from happening? How are we promoting men that treat women with equal respect so that they're not abusing women? And I think that is included within feminism.
Anybody want to piggyback on that one?
I don't know if you saw the 60 Minutes piece on I think it was CEO or CFO or something of Facebook, and she's extremely outspoken.
Sandberg,
She's extremely outspoken about how few female CEOs there are and kind of what gets driven into young girls' minds as opposed to young boys' minds in schools and stuff like that. So right. I think that there's a lot of issues out there, but like what Bully was saying, I think it just the term feminist has kind of a negative connotation.
Right,
I think
right.
You know, maybe let's just find a different vernacular for it.
Jeannie, I want to get, let me get your opinion. We do have a caller, but I want to get your opinion real quick.
My opinion on what? Oh, I was just going to piggyback on that and talk about Marissa Mayer and how she, the CEO of Yahoo right now. And she was promoted to that position while she was pregnant. And as a woman, I wonder how she plans on raising this child and, you know, and having such a huge, you know, part in this company.
Yeah.
And
Of babysitters, I think.
Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, for me, like, I know if I ever push something out of my vagina, I'd want to be the one that takes care of it.
But I guess it's protecting the privileges for people who aren't CEOs. And I think that's part of feminism as well. How are we protecting the poor single mothers?
Oh, no. I have friends now that are afraid to tell people that they're pregnant or that they're having a child. Because, you know, as an actor in LA, you know, that's going to affect...
Yep. And I think it applies to economics as well as social issues.
Those are great points. This side of the table, fantastic stuff. That side of the table, eating cookies.
Those cookies are delicious.
I'm all for feminism.
It's not
by
our
way.
Fault.
I baked cookies. I'm the girl. I came and brought cookies.
Let's go ahead and go to the phone lines. We got a caller. Where are you calling from? What's your name?
Missoula Falls.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yonkers.
Who are we talking to here?
Oh, is this me?
Yeah.
Hi, me.
Well, hey there. I just wanted to give a big shout out to the host here. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. Who am I talking to right now?
This is Deputy Dog.
I'm sorry, who?
Deputy Dog.
Okay.
Sister Dog.
GP Cook.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So it's a. All right. Well, Deputy, you sound like you may be drunk. No, but thank you for calling it. I want you to thank you very much for the birthday wishes.
What are your thoughts on feminism, Deputy Dog?
This is actually a very
popular
topic in the workplace these days. Diversity is pretty strong in our culture. Well, we actually just formed a diversity group in our office so that we should have a woman who is pregnant and pretty much pushing it pretty hard, and she's actually coming back to work. So, definitely a topic that we're hearing more and more in all of the big accounting firms, that's for sure.
And she's
calling from under the sea.
Yeah.
Can you turn your radio down?
Yeah. We
were dying.
Deputy, we had a little trouble hearing you there, but it sounds like what you're creating or actually you're the leader of the diversity panel at the work at your workplace. Is that right?
Not the lead, but. I am kind of under the sea. I'm in Fort Keys right now, though.
Oh, okay. Okay, you're actually in the sea right now. Okay. We are having a little technical difficulty here hearing you, but I want to ask you real fast, Deputy. Maybe we can try to hear you a little bit better here. What are your thoughts on bass fishing?
Bass fishing? Yeah. No, thank you.
I stick to trout.
I like that. You know, have you caught anything down there in the Keys?
I have, actually. We've tarpon, dolphins, hamfish.
Wow.
Time.
You sound like Bubba Gump. Snapfish, Bubba
Whatever,
Fish.
Whatever, Jhené.
Well, thank you very much, Debbie. We appreciate the call. And thank you very much for the birthday wishes.
Happy birthday, Billy Joel.
That's right. Thank you very much. Billy Joel has the same birthday as I do, May 9th, 1985. We both have the same birthday.
God, he looks terrible.
Oh, man.
That's what May 9th will do to you.
That's right. All right. Well, that wraps up our group think session. We're going to be right back with a special guest, Huffington Post writer, policy writer Liz Plank will be joining us in just a few minutes. We'll be right back here on the Sarcastic News Show.
That made a huge difference.
I might take one of these lukewarm beers and hold it.
Yeah, we're back, guys. The first thing listeners heard right there was, I'm going to put this lukewarm beer on my head.
Sorry, it's really hot.
It's a little hot in the studio right now. They're cutting costs here at the Skid Row Studios. I do want to thank Skid Row Studios. And before we bring our guest Liz Plank on, I want to thank my dad. My dad's listening right now from Florida, and he gave me advice. You know how dads give you advice sometimes? He says, here's a new weekly gig for the show. It's called Pimp a Product, and he hyphenated it. It says, basically, mention a product and ask that your faithful flock, degenerates who are drunk right now, visit the website for a product sometimes listening to the show. Our first product is crownsparklers.com. Crown Sparklers, it's a wedding sparkler, a nightclub bottle sparkler. It's a beer, sky lanterns, confetti cannons, and maybe a couple more things. Visit crownsparklers.com for a birthday. We got 4th of July coming up. Visit crownsparklers.com. We're going to post that on sarcastic-news.com, on our Twitter feed, twitter.com/sarcasticnews1. Which I haven't even touched on today. I'm terrible. I'm not promoting like
crazy. Sparklers are super fun.
I think they have cool like sky lanterns too.
Do they really?
Yeah, I think they have some cool stuff.
Awesome. Well, www.crownsparklers.com. You can also check that out. Sarcastic News, sarcastic-news.com, twitter.com/sarcasticnews1. All right, guys. We are back here. We have, I'm very excited, our next guest. She's from the Huffington Post. She's also a writer for PolicyMike.com. Liz Plank, are you on the line with us, Liz?
I am. Hello.
I'm excited. I've never had a feminist on the show before.
Are you serious?
No.
Are you serious? I'm your first feminist.
I'm nervous.
You're a feminist virgin.
Wow. See, I'm nervous. I'm going to offend you. I'm nervous. I'm going to offend you by anything because I'm a misogynist. So.
Right.
I don't know if you can tell by my voice. I'm pretty manly.
You haven't offended me yet, so.
Really? Holy shit, I don't know how that's possible.
No, not yet. So.
All right, even the windowless van joke, that didn't, all right. I have a question, though. First off, I read an article that you did, actually, on the NRA, and I thought, that was a great article. And I looked you up. I saw that you're a writer for the Huffington Post. And it was interesting, because you are a self-described feminist, and right above your bio, there's a Huffington Post article that's entitled Call for Ban on Jelly Wrestling at Cambridge University. And I just thought, did you and Huffington Post, did you guys work that out? Was that like a little Abbott and Costello routine? Like, how did that work?
You know what, Justin? I'm on my page right now, and I don't see the article on jelly wrestling. And I was wondering if maybe Huffington, maybe tailored content,
this is RSS feed.
I'm not sure. I mean, I know that there's been some sort of petition in the UK about some sort of jelly contest being canceled at a school. and I think it's a good thing. But I did not coordinate with Huffington Post.
Okay.
So you're
suggesting that when I, like, for instance, when I type in P in my URL and Pornhub is the first thing that pops up, you're saying, okay, all right. I see where you're going with that. Let's get into it. I during our group think session, I asked, we have Jeannie on the show, and then we have, four other just dudes. It's basically a sausage fest with Jeannie here.
With one bun.
That's right. Oh, man. But I asked, what's the connotation, when you hear the word feminist, what's the connotation, what do you think of, and what's the connotation that comes along with it? I want to ask you, describe yourself as a feminist, so what's the connotation for you, what's the meaning for you with that word?
I think it's there's a lot of misconceptions about the word. I used to like not tell people what I studied or what I did because it would end into some sort of debate. But basically, I mean, feminism is just a lot of people think that it's about empowering women at the cost of disempowering men, and I think that's really damaging because what feminists believe in is that you can elevate both genders, you can elevate both women and men. By fighting oppressive, systems, by fighting gendered stereotypes. If we think about a lot of you know, the most pervasive gender stereotypes, a lot of them affect men, and a lot of them, a lot of the biggest problems we have in society, like school shootings, even terrorism to a certain extent, we can really relate it back to toxic masculinity and what that does to men. And so feminism, for me, is just a lot of people perceive me as angry or, you know, enraged. And I think
you seem, no, you seem both of those words. You seem both of those
words.
Very
vital. Right, right.
You seem cold-hearted.
Already. Yeah, you just want to hang up on me, don't you?
You seem like a cold-hearted bitch. Matt Nassi, yeah. you had something to say.
No, I mean, I completely agree. I think it's, there's a lot of, it's really, it's of defining in a healthy way what men and women's roles are that are, again, that are, it's healthy. You know, personally, I was raised by a single mother. And so it's, I took on those values, and that's, it has gone on to how I treat other people, men or women. And I think that's a part of feminism, but I think, unfortunately, yeah, you get the connotation.
Is that why you drive a Mazda Miata?
Yeah. Cabriolet, actually.
Yeah. Cabriolet. Right, yeah, exactly. It's bright pink, but I don't see any significance.
Let me ask you, was when you think about like some of the feminist causes at this point, what are say your top three feminist causes?
Top three?
Yeah, I'm asking you to rank them.
Well, so I mean, sexual violence and rape is something I think every woman knows. You know, a woman who's either a survivor or has been a victim of sexual violence. So obviously that's something that's very close to my heart, and something that I think keeps a lot of women in fear, you know, and I don't like the way that we try and solve sexual violence, and the way that we're kind of putting the onus on women to stay in their houses. And, you know, as someone who is an athlete, I think it's really annoying when people, you know, so there was like a 23% raise in rapes in Brooklyn, and I live in Brooklyn, New York, and then I felt all of a sudden that people were saying, well, don't run at night and don't go out in these clothes, and I think I have a problem with the discourses surrounding that, and I'm also passionate about media representations and the way that we represent women in media. I think in a lot of ways we've come a long way in terms of the status of women, but in that realm it seems to have gotten worse, I think. So I mean, those are my top two. There are also things, you know, like sex education, and I'm very committed to LGBT issues too. So I think that all fits into the feminist.
You mentioned that's interesting. You mentioned in Brooklyn, rapes on a rise. that's not a band name. With that, like, what about that bothers you with the discourse? You said like what you don't go run at night. Like, how does that, what bothers you about that discourse?
Well, it's that somehow rape is women's problem. And I mean, who's at the root of this problem? Mm-hmm. It's the man, you know, it's men's problem too. And I think, you know, there was this really good TED talk recently I just listened to last week, and it's just like, even the way that we talk about rape, it's like, you know, Judy was raped by John, or Judy was, you know, assaulted or, you know, battered or whatever. And it's like the onus, you know, why aren't we saying John battered Judy? John raped Judy. Somehow the onus is still on the female. Mm-hmm. And so you see the way that discourse basically plays out in real life, where you are told not to dress a certain way, not to go in certain places, and that somehow you're responsible to prevent other people's bad behavior, you know?
Sorry, when you're writing an article, do you tend to address the way that your sentences are structured to the way that you said
Well, I do really try, and some, you know, with the case in Cleveland where the three women were held captive for almost a decade, and a lot of what I was trying to report on this kind of viral video that went out with the guy who called 911, one of their neighbors, Ramsey something, I can't remember his last name, unfortunately.
Yeah, Charles Ramsey.
but basically a lot of them were saying he's a hero, he, you know, delivered, you know, he was able to find them, and it's like everything was about him. And really what happened is that one of the women just ran out of the house and was, you know, her act was really heroic as well. So I saw how those narratives do play out. I mean, I try in my reporting not to perpetuate, you know, these stereotypes, but it's something that I'm still working on, you know.
Let me ask you this, you know, for a woman, is it... I mean, it's kind of, it's even from a guy's perspective, it's tough because rapes is something that you try to stay away from. Here, I mean, I don't know if you heard about Daniel Tosh. He's a comedian who, you know, made a joke doing stand-up about that and got a lot of backlash for it. So it's tough to approach it in a certain way. But for women, women can also use that as well. You know, Kobe Bryant, for instance, is a guy who got a pretty bad name. Of course, what he was doing was cheating on his wife, but he, you know, it came out that he wasn't raping her. He wasn't raping the lady in Colorado, and yet she used that against him. So do you feel that it can be flipped, you know, on the other side of things? Can women use that against men? How do you view that?
So there's this really interesting study, actually, that was conducted in, you know, on undergraduates, because most studies use undergraduate students as their sample. but basically it showed that half of students thought that 50% of rape claims were actually untrue, when really it's 2 to 8%, which is basically the same percentage that you find with any other crime, burglary, embezzlement, whatever. So it's just there are false rape claims. There are women who, will use those claims to, you know, burn down men or whatever, and I think those definitely that's not okay. Mm-hmm. But I think the media disproportionately likes to report on those stories, and so it makes it kind of creates this view that a lot of rape claims are untrue, or that women will use this against men, when really, I mean, most rapes are underreported, are unreported. Rape is the crime that's most unreported. Mm-hmm. So I think what plays out in the media is really different from what plays out in real life.
And we just have another minute or two left here, but I want to know, mm-hmm. I mean, again, not to stick kind of to that same point, but you know, not just rape, but in the workplace or in sports, for instance, I know you've written about that. How do you feel that, you know, do female athletes or females in the workplace, you know, do they contribute to their own, you know, objectification, or is it, you know, do you feel like they do that? And we, you know, we play certain roles and certain types, and when, you know, men see an attractive woman running across the street, it's kind of just nature to look, just like it is for women when they see an attractive guy. I mean, how much is that just sort of nature and sort of the built-in stereotypes that we have? And then how much of it is really objectification?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, because, I mean, like, feminists aren't against objectification. It is a human...
not an easy word to say.
Yeah, it's in human nature, and I think it's normal. Like, I objectify people objectify me, I objectify my boyfriend, he objectifies me, but we still value each other in a lot of different ways. But I think the problem occurs when one group is just systematically just objectified in a way that... like in the media, in even children's books and children's movies, just across the board, even in politics and on TV. So I think it's fine to objectify other human beings. We're all, you know, sexual beings. But I think it just becomes dangerous when one group is just systematically objectified. Mm-hmm. And what that does, you know, in turn... so if women are constantly kind of viewed as objects, what mm-hmm. that does... in terms of, you know, because when someone is used as an object, they're dehumanized, and then it's so much easier to commit violence when it's just an object, when it's not actually a human being to you. So I think there's, it's kind of one peg, right, in the ladder of oppression of women. So I think I look forward to the day that women, you know, can be free to be objectified and enjoy it in the same way that men do. Mm-hmm. But I think right now it's disproportionate.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I definitely don't agree with that. I definitely do agree with that. You're exactly right. It is disproportionate, and it's an interesting discussion. We could go on for a long time. I really, really appreciate you joining us. It is 90, I think it's 104 degrees actually in this studio right now. Otherwise, we would keep talking with you, but it's really, really hot right now, and we do have to go. But Liz, thank you very much for joining us. Liz Plank, writer for the Huffington Post and PolicyMike.com. Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And my name is Justin Cross. Guys, thank you so much for joining us tonight on the Sarcastic News Show. Shout out to my... Well, first of all...
Happy birthday, Cross.
Thank you very much.
Happy birthday, man.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, especially to Jeannie for making those cookies, which I think are gone now because of Snake. But thank you, Jeannie Aguilar, Chris Boley, Matt Mills, Michael Lorenzo Porter, our social media ninja, and Jake the Snake Craney. He actually gained 10 pounds. We have a scale over here. He's gained 10 pounds.
My chair just broke.
Guys, you listen to the Sarcastic News Show. Stay tuned next week. We got a great guest from Time Magazine. I'm making that up. From Time Magazine, you're going to like this guy. I don't know his name,
but
he'll be
here
next week. Joel Stein will be with us. My name's Justin Cross, and this is Sarcastic News.
See, I've been here for 28 years, patterns spread beneath these wheels, tattooed lines beneath our skin, no surrender, my Bobby Jean.